don't give a damn if it's 9 a.m. My football team's got me drinking. My football team's got me drinking. My football team's got me drinking. Give me beer or whiskey, wine or gin. Anything to shake this mood I'm in. My football team's got me drinking.
Back at it again with the Blue Testament crew. We're not at full strength this week.
Neither is Sporty.
But we've got in the studio tonight, my name is Cody Bradley.
That's all.
Allie Trost. And not Robert Russert. Bob? Does he say Bob or Robert? I can never remember what he...
Bobbert.
He never says that. You said that and he was like, what does that mean?
Yeah, that really threw him off when I...
But I'm also kind of surprised. Like, what person whose name is Bob or Robert has never at any point gotten called Bobbert? I feel like that's a very standard.
I've never called anybody named Robert.
Must be a generational thing.
Generational difference.
Yeah. Well, that was their little dig at me being old.
No one has to know.
No one's old.
No one knows our
age. Age is just a number.
That is not true.
I'm still immature, but I'm just old.
Yeah.
Ew, that just winked at
Cody. The wink ruined it all.
Oh, if you guys could just sit in here with us, the things you would see. It's very weird.
Okay.
But should we talk about soccer?
Should we give them some more accurate partial information?
I think that anyone coming to this podcast knows that they, even if they don't know, they know that they're looking for accurate partial information. And we're always here to give it. So
that's what we're good at.
Yeah, we have very accurate information, just not all of it.
Not all of it. But we will try to fill in the rest of the pieces to the best of our ability with our expansive knowledge on this team.
Okay, 4-1. 3 points.
I'm happy.
Let's start off with your favorite goal.
Oh, that's hard because they were all...
Okay, we'll give you time then. Thad.
I don't
what
have
was your
like,
favorite
I literally
goal
don't have
a favorite.
Well, I will have to say Kuzain scoring just because it's Kuzain scoring.
Juan Kuzain, okay. Man, that was just a really good moment.
Just Kuzain.
Okay.
So Juan Kuzain, I know his name is Kuzain, but still you can't like...
I straight up called him Juan. I didn't know. Like, oh my gosh. Oh, well. Now I know, but
she does so
Kuzain,
much research,
I'm sorry.
Too. But I don't think I would have really known that. Juan Kuzain is what I would have like called him.
And again, I could be wrong, but my understanding is name is Juan Kuzain, Juan Kamal.
Uh-huh.
But if you're referring to him, Kuzain is the complete accurate way to talk about him.
Okay.
Okay.
Lesson
so,
there to everyone listening.
But what would be calling him Juan Kuzain be like? Like his?
Would that be
his? Middle
what's your middle name?
It'd be like it's Scott, so it'd be like calling me Cody Scott. Or Scott Cody.
I think it would be as awkward as that, but not analogous.
That's not
to that.
That awkward. People do that. You don't know there are people that you call them by their first
your
and middle name?
Your mother calls you that when you're in trouble,
no,
so
no,
you
no,
probably
no.
have heard it a lot.
No, no, no. I know. I guess it's girls. No, I know guys that you call them by their first and middle name. No?
I mean, okay, I'm not saying that it's like a foreign thing. Like, I'm saying, like, you're right that people definitely do that. It's just
Anna
like...
Anna Grace. I know someone that you call her Anna Grace.
Yeah, if you're from, like, Mississippi.
She's from here.
All
okay,
right.
Anyway.
Anna Grace.
So, Billy Bob and Anna Bob and Shanna Bob. And
Kuzain
Allie
is
Bob.
What we were landing on, okay?
Okay, so I messed up in my interview with him after the game. Pretty sure I called him Juan. I know I did. I'm not pretty sure. I'm sure.
Yeah, but go.
But now I know.
We need to go tell everyone to go look at that video.
Yeah, everyone.
Because it's, like, one of our most watched ever.
Malaysian Messi.
Because he is the Malaysian Messi, and overnight, the Malaysians went crazy watching all of our content.
Yeah, it has like every other video we've ever posted has like, I don't know, somewhere between like 200, 300 views, and then it's like 2,100 views on Kuzain's interview. So this is my shameless plug. Everyone head over to the Blue Testament and check out the After the Final Whistle article, which will have the links to some post-game interviews with Peter, Daniel Shalloway, Daniel's son, and Juan Kuzain. Kuzain, not Juan.
Kuzain's son.
Kuzain. Kuzain's son.
And it was a good interview with Kuzain and Daniel.
He was...
Peter's was a little short, but...
Yeah, well, it got cut off. We had some technical difficulties last night, but one question survived, so... It's all right. we move forward.
In case, because you can't see it, she just gave side eye to Cody for when she said about technical problems.
Oh, it's okay. Right. So how does turning the camera like makes a sound?
It's just like shaky.
Okay.
Just like we're not supposed to move these microphones too much?
Yeah. It's the same technology. Well, you can, but it's better to just leave it.
Okay. Cody messed up the interview.
It's okay, Cody. It's all a learning thing.
We're hitting a learning curve and we're all learning here. I mean, I straight up called Kuzain the wrong name, kind of. So.
And I should
have told
you.
We're great on all accounts.
I should have told you different. But.
And like Cody said, I do so much research. I don't think people realize
the amount
of research I do for a couple of questions just so I can reference something that someone said from.
And I can vouch for that because we were discussing during the game things about Kuzain, so she would know.
I'm a sponge.
She's got a notepad. There's more notes than she could possibly ask a person in an interview.
Just all my thoughts.
Okay, so.
So yeah, go watch those. It's our long-winded way of saying that.
So Kuzain was your favorite goal.
I was just going to say, we're going to get back to that. Whose favorite goal was yours?
You can go first.
Okay.
I'll take the leftovers.
I was really torn between two. I won't say what the other one I was torn between, but I'm going to have to say Rubio's goal. I know it was the fourth. It just kind of closed us out, put the nail in the coffin, but seeing like his excitement and that fire, like he wanted that goal and he was like, it was the biggest like Peter Vermees play me goal.
He did.
Like that was awesome.
Yeah. It was just seeing it go in. It was just, I was immediately like, oh man, that is a person that needs to be playing more.
But you know what the best part about that to me was? I mean, Rubio did the finish and that was great, but it was the Gerso play right before that. He fought for that ball. He kept hold of that ball. He got to the right spot where he could play that ball to Rubio. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. Rubio did a nice turn with the ball and got in the right position and put it past Shuttle Worthless. But it was Gerso getting that setup that I was really liked about that particular goal.
I liked that play too, but you did leave out that he asked for a handball and almost didn't get the ball back, but did.
That's very true.
He paused. He paused with the ball at his feet in the middle of the box. Okay. That worried me, but.
Speaking of Gerso.
That was just a fake out.
Did Kuzain's goal deflect a little bit off of Gerso?
Gerso. It was a Minnesota player.
Okay. Because I couldn't tell. My eyes are kind of bad.
I went back and watched, and Gerso made like a very good effort to like get his foot out of the way.
Yeah, it was from one angle, it looks like he was trying to flick it on.
Yes,
like he was
okay, because that's,
in.
I think, what
but
I was saying.
From another angle,
it looks like he was actually getting out of the way.
Okay, yeah, because when you look at it from that one, the movement of him getting out of the way almost looks like he's flicking it on, but.
My question is if it was even going on goal
before the deflection. I'm pretty sure it was.
I'll allow that.
Just like
I'm going to take it away.
Just like the one that Daniel Sonnen blocked earlier.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Who shot that? Was that
Zeus,
yeah.
Zeus with another rip.
All right, Cody, your favorite goal.
Daniels.
Yeah.
It was amazing. It was so good.
Okay, that goal last night and then the one he scored against Atlanta, it's like he doesn't even look up to like...
I know.
Aim.
The shot comes out of nowhere. Like it just comes out of nowhere. He didn't even rev up. It doesn't even look like he swung that hard.
No.
The ball flies off of his foot.
Yeah.
And that's what, when we were talking about it one other time, first time I saw him... At the first Swill Park Rangers practice, it was like a shot exactly like that where he didn't have a huge, you know, arm wave and like wasn't positioned right. It flies off of his foot. It's insane. It's so fun to watch.
Now I'm going to like do this again, but the best part about that goal, what do you think I'm going to say?
I don't know.
the really, really clever assist from Crosé.
No, but that's a good point. Thank you for bringing that up, Cody. So that way I didn't have to. Going back to Daniel's actual shot, like you said, he didn't really look up. He's just dribbling, right? But what he does is he shoots just as he clears that defender so that the goalie cannot see that ball coming. He can't see the windup. He can't see the turn and the shot. So it's really smart of him. How many players want to get open to get shot? They want
that perfect, like,
feet on
wide open spaces.
Yeah. But he just takes that space, and as soon as he cleared that, he shot.
Yeah.
Sometimes those will run it. You know, that shot will go right into a player, so it'll be look like, ah, he should have got more space, right?
Right.
But when he makes it perfect,
yeah,
it's beautiful. That's why there was no chance. Shuttleworth had no chance.
Well, and I think that, too, like, all that you just explained right there, like, that just goes to show his soccer IQ, and, like, it's only going to go up from here, like, as he gets in more of those situations, and maybe those situations come with him as center forward.
See, and that's, I don't even call that soccer IQ. I see that as just, like, he's still so young and raw, and it's just, he's already able to do this. Like, it's just so, like, it's so instinctual and natural to him. Oh, it's
I'll agree with the young, but not the raw. He's pretty polished at this point. He will continue to get better.
I think in 5 years you could look back and say, like, he was still pretty raw at this point.
Well, when he's playing for, like, Arsenal or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man, how cool would that be? And how great would the money be that comes to the team?
Yeah.
One of these guys will have to do that. Kuzain, Shallowy,
the Malaysian investee.
One of these guys is going to be a big payday here.
I think it'll be between Shallowy or Kuzain.
To,
like, really be, just like.
So, like, the chance to play in, like, one of the top leagues in the world.
Yeah.
Kuzain to Barcelona. Ilya is the mentor that sends him to Barcelona to take the spot that Ilya didn't get because somebody else was signed. That would be the ultimate story, wouldn't it?
I still
that
like Busio. Busio's nice.
Gianluca.
Man.
The best name. Cody and I were talking about that last night when we were walking out of the stadium. Just like, why is it that so many of these soccer players who are really good, a lot of them have these like kick ass names? Like, and that's then some more, have these great names that don't necessarily live up to it. Some have names that are just like, that could be the guy who sells me insurance, you know, on the phone and cold calls me. Yeah, like, hi, this is Matt Beasler with American
Evans.
Family. Like, yeah, this is Brad Evans with, like, you know what I mean?
Names.
But
names,
it's like, this is Gianluca Busio, and I'm about to rock your world on the soccer field. Like, that's what
Gianluca.
I think. Gianluca. It's just an amazing
name. Names are one of my favorite parts about soccer.
Yeah, I think Brad Evans could be like an outdoor swimming
pool
salesman
or
something.
Could be anybody, yeah. It's like, hey, this is Tim Ely. I'm here to fix your HVAC, like, you know, anything. But it's also the foreign names. We can't really knock them. We're all just American, you know.
They all sound cool.
Busio.
Busio. Yeah. It's fun to chant. It's fun to say.
Except he's American.
Wait, yeah, but his name is like far. Doesn't.
What is his lineage?
He's French, isn't he?
His dad is foreign, I believe. I haven't actually met him.
Foreign. Well, yeah. That's
accurate, partial,
all encompassing there. Accurate and partial.
Well, I'm from Hick, Missouri. I mean, there's a lot of people that are just foreign.
Well, okay, isn't
me.
He from North Carolina?
Yes.
Yes.
But his name, I want to say his origin is like French. Like, that's where his.
I think that's Italian.
Gianluca seems Italian.
All right, I'm looking it up. This is one that we're not going to have to be partial. This is going to be full accurate information.
Yeah, I think there's another player named that, Gianluca.
Like, I literally want to name my first kid Gianluca. I love it.
Gianluca, Daniel.
I just like Luca.
I like know too many Daniels. Like, my brother's name is Daniel.
Well, see, you could tell your brother was named after him, but you'd know it would be.
My brother, Danny, and Shallowy are, like, literally the same age. I can't remember when. My brother's birthday is July 17th, and I'm pretty sure Daniel's is July.
My birthday's July 18th.
No way.
Yeah.
Small world.
Hey, you know what? Mine's not.
Crazy.
Cool fact, Thad. So what was the, I already forgot what you said was your favorite part of the Shallowy goal? Or the really cool part of it?
To me, was how he shot it just as he cleared the defense.
Oh, yeah. No, I liked Johan turned it into an assist while the ball was just, still bouncing around. He, with one touch, stole the ball and gained possession and set up Shallowy for
He fought
beautiful.
Really hard to get in and head that ball to Shallowy, who had to make a good touch, too. I mean, it wasn't like a perfect header to Shallowy, but the effort he put into it, the effort that he put in for all of his 15, 18 minutes, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a fireball for the whole time he was in. That was really sucky to see him go down.
And see, I think it's just part of how he's slowly improved every game. It's just, to me, he's looked like that every game, like bits and parts.
Yes.
And again, it was in Minnesota, so, you know, it may not be the greatest achievement in the world, but he has been improving. He's been getting better and playing what Peter wants. So he's that guy that he's that foreign guy who may take a half year or a year to get to what Peter wants, but then be really great. I mean, we could be sitting here next year talking about how great Krause is and mm-hmm. how he's keeping Busio from getting time at attacking mid, you know?
And like, I'm here for all of that. Like, I am so, like, Krause, I think, deserves that. And I think he, like, he wants that so bad too.
I think that should be a segment that we do on this show is a, someone comes up with Sporting in 2021 and give a scenario like that, a beautiful scenario to imagine. Krause playing amazing and Busio pushing him for minutes.
In 2021, Busio should be playing.
No, that should be next year. I just threw.
All right. Well, I'm just.
So 2019.
Yeah, I can go with that.
Yeah, 2021, I'm like, who will even be here? Like, that's too far away.
EPB back. We'll be back in 2021.
Yeah.
Playing next to Amor and Lindsay.
We're coming off two straight MLS Cups.
Oh, my God. I feel like there should be some sound effect inserted in there, like, da-na-na-na-na-na.
So, we've discussed all of our goals.
Except for Lobato's, but...
Yeah, we all of our favorite bottle, man. Come on.
It was a
cheeky turn.
Yeah.
And the Shuttleworth almost got some sort of weird.
You got a touch on it.
Got a touch, but
that was a
the
pass,
turn alone and just
a pass from placement. Roger, right?
Yes.
The turn was very good.
Yeah, Roger had a great game.
The turn was very good. He had a lot of space. That's mm-hmm. why I liked the pass better. But it was yeah. he made. It was like you could almost tell he was like okay. thinking of turning the other way and then at the last second just opened up and just saw everything in front of him.
But here's my question. Kyrie in the same position, would he have scored that in the box? Could he have made that move?
So now you're an anti-Kyrie guy?
I'm not anti-Kyrie. I'm just saying we've been kind of hard for scoring in the last however many games.
That question is about Diego's goal, not Lobato's goal. And for me, like, that is a real question. Like, that goal was just, it was banging around and the ball wouldn't go in, and that's something we see from this team all the time.
Yeah.
And then half a second after it touches the foot of Rubio, it's in the back of the net. It just looked like he was saying, I need to be on the field.
We've also seen Rubio put those balls well wide, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like he's doing that every time, but
well, I almost wonder, like, is there a better position for Kyrie than center forward?
I don't know,
because it's like he does bring so much to the table in terms of like his physical presence alone is like so strong. He is defensive minded. He fits into all of Peter's plan. Like, he checks almost every box of what Peter wants out on the field, at least in certain parts of his game. But it's like,
that big
where
physical,
else would he go?
Yeah, that big physical ability is like he's right where he needs to be when
yeah.
there are dudes crawling all over him and we need him as a backboard. And mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, although I don't really think he plays as big as he is. I mean,
yeah.
he seems to be much less physical than what he could be mm-hmm. from his size and athleticism. So probably his best spot on the team is coming off the bench in the 80th minute as a defensive sub.
Yeah.
But that's when you have a forward who can regularly put in goals and can do some of what he does, not maybe quite mm-hmm. as well, but nearly as well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Peter's got some decisions coming up with, you know, what this lineup is going to look like. Is it going to become more fluid than it has been in the last, you know, seven or so games, eight games, where, you know, he was subbing maybe one guy in at the last, like, 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes, or not subbing at all unless of an injury. So,
well, I would actually say he's done fairly well with subbing up until last couple games.
Okay, subbing in forwards, I guess.
But you mean changing him out?
Yes. I'm not talking about subbing like your typical, like, he always is subbing, you know, at least like Madrona, Sinovic, that back. I'm talking about like those three guys up top, Shallowy, Russell, and Shelton. Like, how many times have we seen Sporting walk away with a tie or a loss with no change to that front three?
Yeah, and I would like to see some change too. Mm-hmm. I would. again, it's always, do you feel confident that the guy that you're going to put in there is going to do something better or different?
Well, I think after...
I do
that,
now.
Yeah, that's exactly. After that game, I think you can feel that about Diego and Gerso. Yeah. Gerso looked great. His nutmeg and cheeky little shot on goal. That was very good. That was like one of my favorite plays of the game. Favorite was Zusi's little just like chip over the sliding defender.
Which like
that was so
classy. That defender's move. Like what? Like why was that his?
Oh, he just made him look so bad.
He made him look so bad.
Love it.
Well,
Zusi was really like infiltrating that whole wing all night. Like he had some huge crosses, some really big runs. So it was cool to see him, you know, with Russell out and Shallowy not in that typical wing position. Like I feel like it allowed Zusi to get up a lot more, and like Lovato was just all over the place. I felt like he was.
Well, I think when Zusi and Russell were both out there, they've worked really well together.
Yes.
But last night I was really enjoying Lovato and Zusi because at times it was like, okay, which one was that? Because, you know, they both have short hair now.
Man, I really like Lovato's game.
He has become one of my favorite players to watch. Like I appreciate his style so much, and this is like not a knock to Russell at all, but I feel like Russell doesn't really get, like he doesn't really cut in and move centrally as much. Like he typically stays pretty stuck out there either on that sideline or like up on, you know, towards the end line. And I thought Lobato's ability to kind of like just move in and out, like it allowed Zusi to get room to swing around the outside and cut in.
Yeah.
And then Lobato is in the middle. Like it was just
Where Russell is like smash and grab and very direct.
Yeah. But Lobato's, from like the same spot. Like it's not.
Lobato's a little more like patient and on it, like probably even a little more creative.
Mm-hmm. Well, he just like watching him cut through like players, it's literally like watching a knife cut through soft butter. Like he's just like gliding his way through.
He's got that. He's just very good on the ball.
He's
like,
quick.
It's like. You can. It's the Spanish.
It's like he's on his
tippy
toes. He's like dancing like throughout. He is like it's so. I don't know. I was really enjoying watching him.
No, I liked Lovato last year when everybody was bad mouthing him for his defense, and you know he didn't do anything in games and stuff. But I'm like, I thought he was doing well. It's that he wasn't necessarily connecting well with other people. Mm-hmm. So I would like to see him get in some more games, and especially up at that wing spot.
Yeah. I completely agree.
I think when more games start getting played and like the end of the season draws on, he's going to be like a very big X factor for Vermees.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to see these guys do it against teams that are not Minnesota. I mean,
right.
But the reason we think that they're so bad right now is because Sporting like made them look that bad.
And here's my other point though.
And they're like the next to last worst team in the league after Montreal.
Yeah, but remember parity in this league. No one's that bad.
Well, and my other thing is, too, is that Peter said last night in the press conference that the first half, their attacking efforts was, like, the best that he's seen all season. Yeah. And I don't think he would say that. I think that the way that Sporting was attacking in that first half would have been successful against any team. Like, I thought that they were moving so quick and moving so just, like, it was just smart. Like, everything they were doing was just, like, in the positive direction. They were playing back when they needed to. They were going forward when they needed to. They were making smart runs. They were making the right crosses. Like, I think any team you play against, Minnesota or not, you're going to be successful.
That, the, like, during the play of Lobato's goal, I, like, said out loud, I was like, oh, my gosh, this is just, like, a scrimmage. Like, they're just running a train on them right now. It was really fun to watch.
I totally agree.
And again... Who knows? Maybe it is because it was Minnesota, but.
But also. Well,
and the reason I keep going back to that is I just don't want it to like, oh, like here, yeah, Lobato like, and Gerso is our answer. And
we do go very up and down here. It's like, that was amazing. And
so
then it's like,
I'm always trying to like play the other side a little
we
bit.
Gotta
so
keep it
we
level.
Don't get too far gone with, you know, this is the answer. The guy who couldn't get on the field until last night because Johnny was gone and because Kyrie was hurt, you know, Daniel got moved over. Because if it was a choice, you know, if Kyrie was healthy yesterday, would Daniel been in the middle? No. Daniel would have been out on a wing. Mm-hmm. And then it would have been either Gerso or Lobato. It wouldn't have been both of them.
Mm-hmm.
So probably Gerso because he's the more natural winger currently under Peter. So that all of it just leads to me like we don't want to get too high on this because Minnesota has a bad defense.
Yeah.
I get that sentiment. But this was not the Sporting Kansas City first team. And like, that does that game, the reason I am so excited about it is because, not because, oh, this team is so good after beating Minnesota. It's now we know that like all these players that are on the bench, like
there's a lot of depth.
Yeah. And so like the big question of the year has been like, yeah, but can they do this at the end of the year? And like that game for me last night is like, yes, absolutely they can. This team is so much better depth wise and all, you know, at all different areas of the field than the past 2 years.
And I won't argue with you there because I completely agree. There's so much more depth. Every year the depth gets better and it's mm-hmm. deeper and at almost every position. Right now the problem is midfield, though, just because of injuries. Felipe, Madranda, Creze, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason Kazane played. Otherwise, he probably would have never seen the field this year.
Right.
Which is okay. He continues to develop at Swope Park, practices, gets some experience. But that's probably the only reason he played is because of injuries to Felipe and Madranda and Creze. Yeah.
But even at full strength, wouldn't we see Kuzain on Wednesday? Wouldn't we have probably seen him then?
Don't know.
You know,
Peter impossible. Has been...
No answers on this show.
Well,
accurate we can partial. Speculate all day and all night.
Accurate partial
and that's what
information,
we're gonna do.
But no answers.
But well, it's something we can't answer anyway just yet because Peter has traditionally played very, very strong lineups majority of the time. I mean, there's been times he's put out the first team 11 going out there. And yes, there's three games in 7 days this week, Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday, right? But there's also a 2 week break after that. So if they get, everybody gets a wee bit tired, so what? They get 2 weeks of rest, you know, and rehab at the amazing Pinnacle Training Center. So Johnny Russell being back is, you know, and then, so he should probably get to play Saturday, if not Wednesday. So you could go with a very, very strong lineup in the Open Cup game.
Yeah.
You're going against an MLS team.
So. I could see Peter not start Johnny though.
Yeah. I would like to see Johnny on the bench.
And then see him sub in, which I think...
Wait, we're not there yet. Let's stop talking about that.
Okay.
We're not there yet.
We must follow...
the Minnesota game.
The outline.
Yes, it is my outline. Was Sporting Kansas City good, or is Minnesota bad? A definitive answer. A quick definitive answer on that one.
Sporting Kansas City was good.
Minnesota was bad.
I knew Thad was going to say that.
I literally, like, I saw... like, as the words trailed out of your mouth, like, I literally just watched Thad's entire temperament just, like...
Saw the wheels turning in his head.
You look like the Cheshire Cat from like the face that you just made. You're like, I can't wait to stir the pot with,
well, it,
with
the problem
opposing
is,
answer.
The reality is there's not either or answer, right? But because we play this game, mm-hmm. Cody, or we ask a question, we have to answer it that way. If
that's what shows do, right?
Well, no, I know. It's but it's to generate conversation, right? And I'm fine with that. That's why I played the game. I gave Allie the chance to say Sporting good, and then I went the other way because it's really kind of a little bit of both. Minnesota is not a very good team, and they proved that again last night. Their defense has not been good. They have a decent attack when they're fully in the attack, but they have to get it there first, and they're just not that good at it. I mean, what the possession was like 69% last
night? It was
night.
The stat sheet. This was what was so funny to me. In Sporting's first meeting against Minnesota just like 2 weeks ago at Minnesota, and then last night, the stat sheets were almost identical. The only difference was the result. It was about minus, you know, a few goals here, give or take, about the same. Like, we outshot them
which
about 20 plus something to like a single digit number, same as first game, and then same thing with the possession. It was about a like high 60-30, like high 30, almost a complete 60-40.
Oh, yeah. Minnesota was bunkering at their own home.
The other difference, though, was like Shuttleworth had a way better game at Minnesota. Granted, I don't think that Sporting necessarily put the best shots on him.
Yeah.
Or, you know, so, I mean, you can't really say, but he did come up with 9 saves. So it's like you can't say that he had a bet.
The other difference.
was he a tree? I don't know. But. My dad, something funny though, last night, he texted me after the game. He was like, what the hell? How does Minnesota have a team and St. Louis doesn't? They're awful. I was like.
Because they have somebody with enough money.
Yeah. It
has little to do with the actual player quality. Because the St. Louis USL team is pretty bad too.
Except they did beat Swope 2-0.
Well, that's because there was no good players down at Swope. No Kuzain, yeah. No Busio. Yeah.
But still.
No Felipe Hernandez. Don't know why.
Or Belmar too, right? Belmar
was. Belmar was on the
and
bench.
And yeah, Belmar didn't get in. That was one that we all were very confident was going to see some minutes last night. Thoughts on that?
Well, either way?
I don't want to like read too much into like people's expression in the locker room afterwards, but if I was going to, Belmar looked a little sad.
Okay.
Ooh, there was a lengthy shot of Busio as Kuzain was getting the call to go in at attacking mid. We didn't really even talk about that.
What do you mean a lengthy shot? Like a...
Like a camera on him.
Oh.
Reacting, like in quotes, reacting to not getting the nod there.
And what did he look like he was reacting?
Not in any specific way, but it was like there was a little like smirk on his face. Like, oh, okay, well, okay, I see.
All right.
Yeah, and I could see
we
that.
Should,
a
we should
bit,
have
but...
talked about that because that was something notable. A guy who.
Well, we still can. That's the best
I know,
part.
Yeah, a guy who.
Oh
been...
man, we passed the time to talk
no,
about
no,
it.
No, no, what do we do?
It's not
we
in
talk
the
about
outline.
It now.
The guy who has been groomed to be Ilya's backup, all of a sudden went on in attacking mid. When so many people were wanting to see Busio.
Yes. But. Kuzain has how many games with Swope Park so far? I don't know how many this year, but last year, even some the year before, right?
Kuzain, the year before last year?
Didn't he? Yeah, I think he...
Accurate? Partial information.
Trying to remember.
Where's Mike?
Yeah, maybe he didn't the year before because that was when he was first with the Academy. But he did last year. Had a number of games with Swope Park. So he's been playing against adults for quite a while, and he is 18. At that, he was 18 then. He's 19 now.
Yeah.
Busio is just turned 16
like
last week.
And also, Busio just got his USL debut.
Yeah.
Like and this
he's had
year.
Two.
Yeah, so
two
I'm
or
not,
three short games because he didn't.
Right.
I think it was three now, but he didn't play the full 90 in any of them.
So, yeah, he only played half, and he did score his first one.
He got an assist.
Or an assist, but yeah, I think in terms of like, I was obviously very hopeful to see Busio get some minutes last night, or was it last night? I'm so tired.
It is Monday night.
Okay, so last night, but yeah. I fully understand why he was not the... and I would have loved to see Belmar's reaction had Busio gone in and he didn't. But well, I'm also glad. I think I would have been disappointed if Belmar had gone in over Rubio. I think that would have been kind of...
I think one difference, too, though, if the... Because Crozet went out, what, in the 18th minute? 15th, 18th minute?
Yeah,
somewhere around there.
Early.
Too early.
Sad.
If he went out in the 75th minute, that might have been a Busio entrance.
Yeah, I can see that.
Okay,
Kuzain coming in, he'd already had his MLS debut. He's already had, 30 games or whatever with Swope Park so far, playing against adults, a little bit older, more time with the first team, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Busio may have a higher future as an attacking mid than Kuzain does.
Well, and I think another thing that I noticed, too, when Kuzain was out there, especially, like, in that first 15 minutes, Roger and Ilya both were really, like, communicating with him, kind of like, when the play kind of stopped or something like that, they'd walk over. And, I think Peter probably felt like in that, like you said, in that situation for the amount of minutes that were needed out of that player going in, that Kuzain would be the best guy for the job. And I think that he felt comfortable having, Roger and Ilya there, that it would be successful with Kuzain as
the two of them both gave him a endearing like pat on the back of the head as he came in the game.
Yeah.
I liked that. I loved all of that. It was
all
so heartwarming.
It's so cool seeing like, especially for Roger too, him having been a part of this club for so long, like he's really like a mentor and coach for these new guys. And I think he really embraces that role, which is really, it's neat to watch. And it's going to help the success of this team in the long run to see that good chemistry and that camaraderie on and off the field.
Those two, Roger and Ilya. We're so lucky.
We're literally incredibly lucky.
People don't realize. You can still hear, I guess with Krause, you hear less about Roger sucking from like that guy in the cauldron.
Yeah.
But like you still hear it from people that don't see Roger's value somehow.
I don't understand that.
Just the way him and Ilya, like they're...
They
move the ball around like not like you don't normally see in MLS.
Yeah.
They have like a technical ability, like a just an understanding of the game and with each other. And it's just like, oh, it's beautiful the way they work together.
Yeah. There are times that Roger doesn't have a great game.
True.
And
true.
Ilya, even a couple of them this year, has not been great. But overall, those two are two of the best midfielders in MLS. Yeah.
Well, and I think part of that reason, though, is like, as a midfielder in that central position, so much of the game goes through you. So it's like you are just facing more opportunity to mess up, especially when it's not like a guy like Kuzain who's going to probably play it more safe. Like Roger has to make a lot of decisions, and so does Ilya. They're a little bit more risky in terms of like whether to play it back, whether to play it forward. And I think a lot of times when you're kind of always forced to be mitigating like the flow of the game, how that's going to go, you're going to face more chances to have, you know, someone steal the ball away or a tackle. But something I was impressed with Roger last night was the way he and Zuzi, they always play well off of each other, but especially last night. And I think a lot of it had to do with Lobato's movement over in that position. I mean, Roger's movement off the ball was probably one of the best I've seen this whole season. And I think he had a lot of, like, he attributed a lot to the off, like the attack, whether he was a part of the goal, like assist or not, you know, he was like the original. Him and Ilya were really like the central starting force behind a lot of our
Roger had a lot of really good touches last night. There's one that a Minnesota player was coming for the ball and he went over and basically tackled it away and touched it to Zusi, I think.
Yeah.
Yes, it was the tackle slash pass. I remember the play.
It was like right, because it was like right in front of the press box essentially. Mm-hmm. And it was just, that was just quality. I mean, that was a beautiful pass, touch,
it's like he was
play.
Like, he's thinking two moves ahead, or he's like thinking ahead of what he's doing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, if you can do that, you know what you're doing.
And to your point about, you know, they face a lot more opportunity to mess up, think about like how Roger's getting the ball so often. It's like he's getting the ball with his back turned and having to turn and face goal and find someone with, you know, winning the midfield battle is the important thing in almost every game.
And the guys in the midfield are the ones kind of getting those scrappy passes sometimes. Yeah. Like if someone's got pressure and they're kind of like trying to get it off, who's it going to? It's going to Ilya and it's going to Roger.
And it's
typically
rarely a good pass. You've got two guys bearing down on you immediately.
And they kind of do it in different ways too. Ilya is so smart about his positioning and knowing like everybody around him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's showing like, you know, say Beasler is in trouble with the ball, right? Ilya is showing to a spot for him, but he knows exactly where he needs to go. He doesn't, when he receives that ball from somebody, he doesn't turn left if he should have turned right. You know what I mean? He knows where everybody is and he can just take a step, get himself clear, play the ball off to somebody else. He so rarely loses that.
Mm-hmm.
Roger is a little bit different in the fact that when he receives the ball, he may know that there's a guy on his right shoulder and he's just going to fight with the guy all the way to get until he has a chance to play that ball.
Right.
It's completely different style, but similar effect.
Yeah. And I think it works so well because you wouldn't want two of the same. Like their differences, I think, really make I don't play on this team, really make Sporting's midfield work. And that's, you know, last night, I think, was a perfect example of.
Hour and we can come out in this conversation because we're just gushing. We're just fans. We're just fans at this point, like gushing over Roger and Ilya.
And
I know.
Cappy's not here to give you a hard time.
Yeah.
And I think another thing I just love about Ilya is how he interacts with fans outside of, you know, his role on the field. Like, I feel like you see so many things at Sporting Post on social media or their interactions with the Victory Project or, you know, whenever they're doing events young kids, Ilya loves it, and he does just like a total sweetheart about it.
Yeah, he's come a long way since last year.
The confidence, like I know we've talked about that he's just really coming to his own with his role.
He's comfortable.
And embrace it. Yeah,
he seems very comfortable here.
Hopefully, he's around for a long time too. Sorry, Kuzain.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, As awesome as Kuzain is, I can't imagine losing Ilya. I couldn't imagine losing, what's his name either?
Roger?
No,
Busio? Lindsay? I don't know if you're talking.
I could get clues from you, but I'm Tim mad at myself. No, who was Yuri! Yuri! I couldn't imagine living without Yuri, and then look, we had a couple tough years there, and then we found the chosen one of Ilya.
Is even better.
And no one's taken him yet.
Yeah, I think he's happy here just because Sporting plays the way he likes to play. So, Yuri, I think, had dreams of being big. And that's cool. That's fine. But he was here to play well and do what was asked. But
and move on.
I think Ilya truly likes the way Sporting plays and wants to see the... Mm-hmm. As Peter will describe it, but the method of play, the style, the I'm trying to think of the right word there too, but that continues to progress, that continues to evolve as it goes along. And also something he said in the press conference last night, and I know I'm cycling back a little bit, and Cody can yell at me for breaking out of the outline, but one thing he said too is about Lobato, about this last week in practice, he saw something in Lobato that he saw he was able to get something out of Lobato that he wasn't necessarily seeing before. And that's, he kind of like took a little pride in unlocking something in Lobato, and somebody says, what was it? And he's like, I'm not giving you the secret sauce.
Bob said, what was
that
it?
That was Bob. Yeah. Bob asked a question and was like, he was just basically asking, how did he inspire all of these young guys to play so well, or to, you know, what his secret was to bring out this fire. And he was just like, Bob, I'm not telling you.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess I would have to wonder, just if we're using context clues, like, was it putting him in that new position? Did that, like, was that something, was it the guys that he was playing with, you know, he's been playing mostly at wing back or
he's been tried
midfield.
Everywhere on
yeah,
the field.
Yeah, so it's like, was this a place where he felt the most comfortable, or that he felt that he was able to be the most dynamic or best, get the, you know, the most out of his own play? Like,
and... Yeah, going along with that, because when he's played left back, he's played attacking mid a little bit, mm-hmm. and he's played left wing. I don't think he's ever played right wing. That was my biggest surprise when I saw the lineup last night.
Yeah,
same. I didn't know who was going to be there, but mm-hmm. when I saw it was Lobato at right wing.
I think because we all assumed that Kyrie was going to be in the lineup, because we weren't really sure on that injury or what that looked like. Yeah. So then once we saw Kyrie wasn't, and then of all people to put on the right wing, Lobato... Everyone's kind of like, wait, what? But
I thought they just had it flipped on the
yeah, on like that.
You know, I thought it was Gerso on the right and Lobato on the left, and nope.
Yeah, so.
Okay, let's even us out here. Kay. We've been gushing. Who was the worst Sporting Kansas City player?
Should I go first?
I know Thad's answer.
And I love the guy, but last night I think the worst player was Seth.
Ugh, I don't like talking bad about Seth.
I don't either. He's a great guy. He's a wonderful person, and I'm not saying he should be fired. It was just everybody has bad games, and I don't think Seth was at his best yesterday. Maybe that is related to other injuries, you know, and he was just trying to gut it out, because I'm not sure what happened to him for him to come out as
limping
it was.
Like that?
But he seemed to be out of position some, and he seemed to just not be doing his best.
I see that. I liked his one, that one rip he had on goal. It wasn't even close.
But
I liked it.
Yeah.
Showing the initiative.
It's like everybody wanted a goal last night. It's like the entire 11 that was out there. I mean, I'm surprised Tim didn't take a shot.
And like, this is not to circle back to Ilya, because I think we've talked about him plenty tonight, but
never.
His shot that just like completely like ricocheted off the crossbar and like bounced
almost knocked the goal over.
If that had just been 2 inches below, it would have been like the most beautiful goal, and I would have probably tried not to jump out of my seat in the press box, but it would have been hard.
You'd have cried.
Dad said it last night, like, I really want to see Ilya get a goal in the run of play.
Yeah, and he had a couple of shots with the shot into players. I mean, mm-hmm. I think they had like 8 blocked shots, Minnesota did, and I think Ilya accounted for a third of those.
Like, shallowy, like all.
But yeah, no, he had a couple of really good attempts, and
it's coming.
Yeah,
he'll get another one this season.
He does look like he is in the mood to get one himself. So.
I like seeing him just like take a shot. There's nothing. He didn't do anything like that really last season.
It's getting more and more like the middle three, because we always like think of Ilya as a D mid and Roger as a box to box and Felipe or Kraze as an attacking mid. But especially when Felipe's out there, I think of him and Roger as two eights. You know what I mean? I don't think of one of them as a 10 truly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it, with the way Ilya is playing now and the trust that he has with Roger and with some of the other guys, it's almost like there's no true 6, 8, 10 role. It's more like they're just interchangeable. The one scary thing last night, though, when I looked down and saw Kraze was the right back for a little bit because they got out of position after a set piece.
He looked so out of sorts in that, like, you could just see it on his face. He was like, I'm not supposed to be here. I'm not really sure what I'm doing.
Zusi, get over here.
Yeah, like, fast. Please.
It was funny because Zusi was actually, like, over the left back at, or... I think, he was actually like in the, he was like the center back at that point.
He was like, oh shit, I forgot I'm not a forward. Like, I get back.
Okay, Thad is going to go to training tomorrow.
Bright and early.
And get you some updates on Kraze and on Seth.
And Madrona.
And Kyrie.
Are you writing this down, Thad? Write this down. I'm giving you your homework for tomorrow.
We're quizzing you.
And then, yes, as Ali said, Kyrie and Madrona as well.
So basically half the roster.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I'm looking for another Felipe update.
Saw him doing...
Call me impatient. I don't care.
It's been a month and it's felt like a year. So.
Well, I think I saw a video on Instagram or something that he was doing a treadmill. So that if he's running a treadmill, that's at least a good sign.
Yeah.
That's what I love about all of this. Like, we're like talking about, oh, don't get too excited. It was just Minnesota. It's like... Kamaz was JV. We're missing our MVP here. They're doing this without Felipe, who's like potentially one of the best players to ever put on the team's uniform. Like, and like, God, this team is so great. I love this here. This is so much fun.
Yeah, and no Johnny.
Yeah.
So, and again, you're right. That is absolutely something to be happy about yesterday. I just think it was essentially playing a really high-level USL team.
Yeah.
They were not good. They have good moments. When Minnesota's good, they're decent and they can play with teams, but when they're bad, they are just not good team.
Also, can we just talk about Sporting drawing 6 red cards against opponents this year? 6.
Yeah, it's weird.
Like, what? I mean, I know one game, the Vancouver game, it was what, 2?
2.
So that accounts for, you know.
A Johnny
third,
Russell hat
trick. What? Is that a third? I don't know.
Yes. 2 is a third of 6.
Okay.
So if we had a 6-pack, you could have 2.
You did that
you guys,
with a microphone in front of you.
I am the farthest from... Numbers are just not my thing.
And you're tired.
They aren't. And I'm very tired.
She stayed up late.
Well-rested Allie would have easily known that. Tired, sleep-deprived Allie.
We will test you with math.
Yeah, we'll take your word on that one. All right, whatever.
Okay, Cody, don't throw shade over here. I can see you.
I'm going to move on past this game.
Can I just add one thing to what she said earlier about the 6 red cards?
You can.
I did see somebody have a really good explanation for it. It's
karma. We're annoying. Oh.
No, it's karma coming back for all those red cards that Sporting didn't get in 2016 and 2017.
And the lack of penalties and...
All those, because you remember it was like a big run of them where somebody would like punch a player and then they would get a red card from the disciplinary committee and get thrown out for 2 games. But Sporting never got the benefit of it. All the other teams got the benefit of that.
Yeah.
So now it's like, seems like, okay, now it's coming back to help them out. So good karma.
It's like, yeah. You've done your penance.
Or actually, VAR, your red card. Or VAR is actually working for most of the time. Not all of the time. All right. Now, go ahead with what you're saying, Cody.
Yeah, I'll move on to the RSL preview without mentioning anything about Timilia letting in a goal that went right over his head. I'm just going to move pushed right past it. We're not going to talk about it. RSL, Open Cup.
I knew you were going to talk about it.
I just said I'm not talking about it. We're not talking about it.
But who mentioned it?
He's a great... No one mentioned it. I just said we're pushing past it.
Because
Timilia is a great keeper, and we're just going to move
Cody's
past
trying
it.
To, like, reinvent this, like, this assumed like stance that he has on goalkeepers.
No, I'm clarifying it right now. Tim Mealy is great. I hate goalkeepers. Okay, I'm sleeping on goalkeepers. I they're given too much credit in this game. But that is why I like Tim Mealy so much, is because he is everything that a normal, clumsy, big, awkward goalkeeper is not.
Okay, but I'm going to defend like that goal. I think that was a really hard goal to save, because the shot kind of, there were all those defenders in front of him. He was kind of caught off his line a little bit. He got close. Like, didn't he barely tip it? And then he made up for it with that save after whatever that was from Beasler at the end of the game.
Oh, the where he like got down on the line?
Quick? Or what? Like, what even happened there?
Seth's touch that like almost took that across the line.
Yeah, but then like...
Oh, maybe we're thinking of
different plays, because this is the one where Beasler was like running, like he was facing.
He didn't realize that the Minnesota attacker was there, and the guy just took it off of him.
Oh,
we were down on the field at that point, and then
where I was like, Beasler, how the hell?
But
did
Beasler
that happen?
He recovered well. He like pushed the guy out to the corner, and then like got in the goal, kind of caught, like took off the angle for him, and then Melia just like came up big, and
he did have another. Yeah. He had another. Like it was on a corner kick. Seth like had a bad touch on it and almost put it right in the back of the net, and down really quickly on it.
So,
but again, the announcer called it an outstanding save. I'm sorry, a lot of outstanding things happened in soccer, and that was just not.
It reminds me of a stand up something. I forget who did the stand up, but it was like, people are so loose with their words nowadays. People will be like, "That's amazing!" Like, really, you were amazed by it? It's like,
I think that's
true.
A Dane Cook bit, but except he's talking about.
I want to say no. I think it was. I want to say it was Louis C.K., which is why I don't know if I should talk about it on this podcast, because he is in the most positive light anymore.
Dane
but that was a really funny bit that he did.
One where he talks about how his girlfriend would be like, "Oh my gosh, Dane, there was a fire and there was 1,000 firefighters there."
Or just like the hyperbole.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. We know somebody who is like, everything is like the best ever or the worst ever. It's like every moment of their life is the best ever.
But I'd rather have the
ever.
Best ever person than the person that's like, "Oh, it's the worst ever." Because it's usually not the worst ever.
Yeah, but some people are just like back and forth. So.
Well, there's a name for that.
We won't mention any specific names.
Okay, so now that no one mentioned the goal that was scored on Melia, we're going to move on.
That's like the passive aggressive way of doing it.
I just said that it was like, I think it was a really good shot. I don't think that was an easy goal for a goalkeeper to save.
It was not.
There was a
that
lot of
easy. But I think if you asked him if he should have saved it,
obviously he's going to say that he should have. Like,
he thinks he should save every single one of them.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
It could be the most amazing. It could be an amazing shot, and Tim would still say
most amazing. Incredibly amazing.
Incredibly gorgeous, beautiful, insane, amazing, absolutely outrageous shot, and he would still be like, "Yeah, I should have saved that."
Out of your mind, incredibly
out of your
good.
Mind. But that is our Cauldron Man of the Month, so don't you talk badly about him.
We're just going to move on. I'm just going to move on before I dig myself in.
Yeah, every time you like keep going to that, we're just going to hammer you back, man. You're not going to get away with that.
Okay. RSL.
No matter how much you hate Tim Mealy.
RSL.
Sporting Kansas City begins their defense of their...
Open Cup
title.
Whoop. 2017.
Against the stupid, ugly, smelly RSL. You see how I went G-rated on my disses there?
I thought you were talking about somebody else for a second.
Do I have to edit that out? I can't tell. No, I'm leaving it.
No.
Anyway. RSL, they won. They played the Seattle Sounders.
RSL, they were not very good.
I can't unhear it now. I can't. Okay. RSL. Real Salt Lake played the Seattle Sounders 1-2. Not that's anything, because Seattle sucks.
They're slightly better than Minnesota.
The other stupid, smelly, ugly team.
Actually, they're more stupid, ugly.
Yes, they are. Seattle
has
been
so mature on this podcast. Yeah.
They have not scored in 3 games. The Sounders.
Sounders, not RSL.
Oh, no. We're in trouble here.
Bum, bum, bum.
Okay. So roster decisions is really our the discussion name of the game. Here for this. Yes.
Yes, it is.
How much will Peter change the lineup against RSL?
I think Peter's honestly just going to like take everything he said in the press conference. Like, he's feeding everyone in the media, like, yeah, this makes my decision so difficult. Like, it'll be hard for me, like, you know, to go to sleep, like, it'll be like, Kyrie will be fine. Russell's going to start. Chalou is going to be back.
What was Kyrie listed at? What was the injury?
Thigh bruise.
Thigh, yeah.
Another thigh. Yeah.
Him and Brad Evans must have hit each other somehow. They both had thigh injuries.
Okay, so yeah, I'm going to say...
A little disturbing.
No, I'm going to say Kyrie will not be back. Well, maybe he will be back, but I think I think Rubio's getting the nod at striker.
I do too.
Wednesday.
And I don't think Kyrie will even travel with them. I think he'll meet them next weekend.
I think the fact that Shallowy started instead of Rubio is more a comment to him resting Rubio than that he was injured, because he was on the injury report. So I think Rubio is going to get the start. I would like to see it.
Yeah, I would not be surprised at all to see that happen. But again, with the way Peter approaches the Open Cup and the fact that they have 3 games, but after that they have 2 weeks of rest, I would not be surprised to see him put out as much of a full-strength lineup as what he thought could play.
Yeah, he does that a lot, much to the dismay of a lot of fans.
So, I mean, you know, who knows? Johnny Russell could be in the lineup. It could be...
Basically, we know nothing. Peter Vermees doesn't answer. He's not answering Thad's call. We're trying to get the the accurate, full information for you guys in terms of the lineup
on
Wednesday.
Right,
but
now
we're going to be just as surprised as the rest of you.
Yeah, well, and it'll be even worse when we go to talk about the Portland game, because they're not even coming back after RSL. They're just going to go from RSL to Portland.
Yeah, that's going to be a long week.
Yeah.
Does Portland, are they turf?
Yes.
That's tough.
Stupid.
That's what I thought.
Stupid
they
MLS.
They should dock any team that has turf 10 points.
There we go. That's a better idea
than
my
like,
idea
any team
last
with
week.
Turf has to travel, like, X amount of more games to like.
So what am I? I'm missing
know.
That. It
they
just,
get one less sub per game.
So like it rains a lot in the Pacific Northwest is why they don't have a grass field, or what am I missing here?
It's a good question.
So that's what I'm saying. Come on, MLS, just make it. Come on, this is a real league. Well, everyone has to have grass. Let's go.
Because Seattle plays in
2020.
The same
everyone has to have grass.
Stadium is the Seahawks, right? Seattle plays in the same stadium.
Yeah, there
but
you go.
Portland,
I forgot about that.
So I don't think Portland does, though.
No,
right?
Yeah, Portland can have grass.
I mean,
grass.
They got their own. And, yeah.
Seattle's got the money to build a new stadium, don't they? Maybe not.
Or just, like, replace the turf, right? Is that
they
hard?
Did.
Am
well,
I just
they
being
did
naive?
Just get, didn't, was that Seattle? Or maybe it was Portland. Someone just got new turf, and they were, like, bragging about how great it was. I think it might have been Portland.
Like, okay, don't brag about your turf. We don't want to hear about it.
Yeah. This was last year. If your dad's looking at me confused.
Well, yeah. When you get grass, talk.
Yeah.
But otherwise, don't.
Until
brag.
You have grass, don't even think of coming over and talking to us about it. Because we don't care.
No, like Minnesota, I can kind of get. They will if they'd have turf, but even then, they can have grass. They can put in different types of turf that or different types of grass. They can replace the sod. They can do that, you know, partway through the year. And have good grass. So to me, there's no excuse unless you cannot change the surface in your building because you don't own it or control it. Seattle.
I mean, if Arrowhead can keep grass on a football field in through December and January and February in Kansas City, then everyone
then
else can figure it out.
Are they grass?
Arrowhead? Yeah, Arrowhead has like a gajillion dollar heating
gajillion?
System underneath their field.
Is it a gajillion dollars, Cody?
A gajillion, give or take a bajillion. And it's like there's literally like water pipes that go underneath the field, like that just run hot water like through them.
Sounds nice.
Sporting has pipes under theirs.
See, everyone can figure this out. Come on.
It's apparently not as good as what they'd hoped it was, though.
All right, Garber, if you're really all about moving the league forward, 2020. All grass in MLS. Let's do it.
I and no teams come in that don't have grass.
Yeah.
There you go. Oh yeah, that's a step forward. That's a realistic step forward. No new teams.
No new teams that don't come in without a stadium plan and grass mm-hmm. in that stadium. No more freaking expansion draft.
Okay, so now that we've talked about the RSL game, that give me your back line for the RSL game on Wednesday. Who you want?
Want?
Yeah.
Not knowing who all is hurt, though.
Yes, just who you want.
Who I would want would be...
Oh, just answer the question.
Zusi, Opara, Beasler, and Madranda.
For an Open Cup game, you do want full strength out there?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to see him more, man. Get him more out there. Show some love.
Are we talking back line still?
You
Is it my
that.
Turn?
You would know that if you weren't just on
okay,
your phone.
Okay, I got it.
That's a fine... Damn it. That's a dollar for
and
me,
I never
too.
Have cash on me, so I'm going to Venmo it. The end of the season, I'm just going to Venmo my dues. And then we're all...
Yeah, are you keeping a tally?
I'm just going to guess. It'll probably be about, like, what?
A dollar a podcast.
Okay, cool. I'll start a tab, and we'll all go drink somewhere.
We did have a plan for that. I don't know.
I know. It's just... Bob can never make it, so... He's always busy. I'm kidding. But backline that I want to see would be Beasler, Opara in the middle, Zeus, and Lindsay.
Oh, okay. I like that. Rolling with Lindsay again.
Well, Cody, if you start ask the question, you have to answer, right?
Yeah. I'll say let's rest Ike for Amor. And Madranda and Lindsay.
And who in goal?
And Beasler, the other one. Ooh, that's a fun question. I didn't even think about that.
Tim the tree or
Tim is not a tree. That's why I like him. Stop putting me against
AZ1
Tim.
One
I'm finding you
or
every time.
Or Eric Dick, the speedy relish.
Yeah.
Hot dog.
That seems like something.
The speedy dick.
Vermees does a lot of is he picks the backup keeper and gives them the Open Cup.
I would disagree.
Does he not do that?
He hasn't done it a lot since Kronberg, actually.
Oh.
Because since keepers don't actually run or do much, they just stand there. They
exactly.
really don't need a rest, right, Cody?
Exactly. But it's a thing in soccer. People do that for their backup.
They do.
They're just
going
to plant him,
freaking,
right?
Freaking Pep Guardiola was still trotting out. Oh, crap. Bravo. In the FA Cup, like an idiot. Anyway. Yeah, I just called Pep Guardiola an idiot.
Yeah, we have a greater soccer mind than he does, I'm sure.
Yeah, I do.
Lots of fans think that.
Okay, so now that we've picked the back line that we would favor.
Midfielders.
You go first, Cody.
Stop looking at us.
I thought I was supposed to ask the questions on this show. Isn't that my duty? I don't know.
We're taking over.
We're still figuring it out.
Cody, who do you think is going to
We all ask questions on this show.
We all ask questions.
Let's do Ilya. No. We can deal without Ilya. Okay, let's do Kuzain, Roger, and Busio.
Thad and I both just like shot up. Because obviously I think we probably have different ones. I'll go first.
You're up next.
I'm up next. Okay. I'm going to agree. I'm going to say Roger. I'm going to say Johan. And I will agree Kuzain in for Ilya. Ride that wave. Ride
that
confidence wave.
Dad, you like Johan. I bet you're going to play Johan.
I just wonder if he's capable if he went out so early yesterday.
Yeah.
But if it's
it seemed cautionary.
Yeah, that's the vibe I got.
If it's
and he was walking around on the field after the game. Like, I think if it had been serious, he would have been in the locker room already.
But
go quicker. We're running long here.
Okay. Yeah, we're supposed to be fast tonight, right? Kuzain, Roger, and Ilya again.
Kuzain, Roger, Ilya. Okay. Okay. Wait. So we're Kuzain up top on it.
Yes.
Okay. I can deal with that.
But with Kraze and whoever else is available, ready to sub in.
Okay, forwards.
Ooh. I'm going to say that he's going to go with the same, that Peter is going to go with the same three from last night's game. I think it'll be Shallowy at center, Lobato, and Jurso.
Shallowy on the left, Diego, striker, Lobato on the right.
Actually, I'll go with that same one.
Johnny will be on the bench to relieve whoever on the wings.
I'll go with that one.
I like that. And that's still really dangerous, too.
And has a threat to come off the bench, too.
Yeah. All right. There's our lineup.
You heard it here first. That is.
And I'm just going to start adding this on the end of everything we do until he comes back. And it's all without Felipe. The constant reminder. Everyone needs to know this. Because people forget.
Yeah.
The glass is more than half full.
That when he comes back, it's going to be good.
That midfield, I can't believe we got to play with that midfield for like four games this season.
And we didn't really appreciate it yet. We didn't really get time to actually like wrap our heads around how good it was. And then it was.
It's like mind-blowing to think about
right now. It was literally my experience being a Mizzou basketball fan and Michael Porter Jr., all this hype. Except a little different because Felipe actually played and contributed for us, but.
And didn't quite have the hype that.
Maybe I'm bad luck. My bad luck. Oh my God. It's two teams that I care about.
I don't know. Uh-oh. Has any of us went out injured yet?
Hard to.
Do we know if Bob's okay? Where's Bob at? Okay. Let's not plan for the next one. We'll figure it out off the air. But we will give another one. Hopefully in between Wednesday and Saturday.
Yes.
Saturday.
Yes.
In Portland.
We will do another one.
We will.
We will. Proms. We proms.
And it'll be shorter than
that
this
was one. Cody's way of saying that we promise. In a really weird, like.
If you understood it, everyone else did.
No, not everyone.
Bad's looking at Cody like he has four heads.
I kind of got it, but it's like.
It's like, why? I just like say promise.
Yeah, it's actually faster to say promise than proms.
Proms! Like, right. Want to go to proms with me?
All right, I promise.
I'll take you to proms.
I promise we will be back later this week.
and you won't, like, talk like my 14-year-old daughter's friend.
I promise. Go Sporting.
Woo!
Has just been sent off. Support a strong evolve. Don't stop like Bud Tang's got me drinking. Bud Tang's got me drinking. My foot Bud Tang's got me drinking. Give me beer or whiskey, wine or gin. Anything to shake this mood I'm in. Bud Tang's got me drinking. My foot Bud Tang's got me drinking. Yeah.